Romans 9, verses 30 to 32 read, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today, as we talk about good works, I have a man who is a paragon of good works with me. It is Mike Schaus. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Oh, Bryce, your nose just poked me in the eye. Oh my goodness, it's growing.
No, it's true. It's true, and I would have you know, which I think I've told you before, but I do choose podcast topics, who's going to be in here based on who I think would do a good job.
I've heard you say that.
So don't let us down.
Well, let's hope not. I was just, like I said, I had no time to prepare. I'm going more than ahead of time. But Kathy Snyder was out in the lobby. We were kind of going through some of these questions, thinking about some stuff. So
that's a fair caveat. Is I did thrust this upon Mike, and he had a bunch of other, actually, study obligations. So we said, you know what? We'll just wing it. I mean, we have notes, but you'll wing it.
You're prepared. That's
yeah,
right.
You're going to wing it.
You'll fix what I say. So, yeah.
But it works out because I did choose this thinking, you appreciate Martin Luther. Someone...
I love Martin Luther. Named my firstborn child after Martin Luther.
So I was going to say, who's getting married.
Yep.
Amazing. But
to a girl named Katie.
Oh.
I was kidding.
Not oh, that's not true. I know it's not true. Sorry, Anna. It's not Kate. It's Anna. Is it Anna? Or
yeah, but I do live on Frederick Street. Frederick the Wise.
Yeah, the Elector of Saxony.
That's right.
Well, returning to our subject, that's why I think even winging it, you would be the perfect person to talk about this, because we're talking about good works this quarter, and of course, that's going to come with a ton of encouragement to do good works. The first section of podcasts we've been doing are over the so-called theory of good works, just thinking biblically, what are they? How do they function? How do they relate to the Christian? Later, we're going to get into the practice of good works, some of that more practical stuff. As we're talking about the theory right now, I did want to have one episode of a little bit different flavor as a kind of warning. So as we're encouraging, do good works, there's also a danger, not in good works themselves, because they are by definition good, they're not bad. But there's a danger in how we can approach good works. Mm-hmm. And the main danger there is, it is the default of human fallen nature to assume that by doing good works, we can attain righteousness before God. Mm-hmm. And that is not only a dangerous belief, but it is a belief that if you hold to it thoroughly, you cannot be saved. So that's what we're talking about today. So I've titled today, Beware of Good Works, meaning really beware of that attitude toward good works. So it's a provocative title here, Beware of Good Works, but like I said, it's really this attitude or belief toward good works that's the problem. I'm going to call this attitude works righteousness. I think we typically do use the term works righteousness to refer to this attitude that I can get righteousness before God by my works. It's the one Paul referred to in Romans 9 that I started with, where Israel pursued righteousness, not by faith, but as if it were based on works.
So is this the same? This is works salvation, right? Believing you can be saved.
Salvation by works. Really, to be most precise theologically, justification by works.
Justification, I gotcha.
That's what we're talking about. Justification by works, which I'll also refer to as works righteousness. So my first question for you, Mike, I know that Paul's letter to the Romans, that is a book that holds a special place in your heart, partly because...
I'm a Christian.
Because you're a Christian. Yes, and that is the confidence of Luther coming through there, because I was going to say partly because it meant so much to Luther as well.
Yeah.
It really is a fantastic book, and it's in that letter maybe more than anywhere except Paul's letter to the Galatians, where Paul fights heartily against works righteousness or justification by works. I thought we could get started here by just, as we're talking about works righteousness, my question for you is, could you give us a picture of your own history when you think about works righteousness? Obviously, you're a big you appreciate Martin Luther very much. And this was the fight of his whole life against mm-hmm. Roman Catholicism and its system of salvation. Have you had an experience in the past with works righteousness? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we all have periods in our life where we struggle with, you know, we're talking about that motivation behind our works, right? What is the heart motivation behind it? You know, am I doing this because I believe it's obtaining me some kind of merit? Or am I doing it because, you know, Jesus emptied himself, sacrificed everything for me, and now that beauty, it's Calvin, I think, in his Institutes, book 2. I know you just read these recently, so you might know this, but he's talking about how, you know, we were blinded to the goodness of God. So God has to use this idea of, what is it he says? You know, we don't have the motivation to do it. So he does it like rewards and punishment. God uses, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think vaguely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, we're blinded to this whole idea. So, you know, we like you were saying, our default nature. I remember I read this book by interview with Jonathan Haidt. He's like this best-selling author. I don't know. He's not a Christian, not that I'm aware of. But he was talking about our default is self-righteousness. And so we're always going back to this, you know, it just feels like everybody's wired that way, thinking that the things that you do, you know, are good in and of themselves. And somehow we can do things that merit God's favor, you know, which is impossible. You were talking about Paul in Romans, but I'm thinking of like 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, you know, for the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, but then I work harder than anybody, but it's not me that's working, right? But the grace of God working through me.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's so interesting that we're talking about Paul, because if you just think of works or good works, Paul did so many.
Nobody works harder than Paul.
I mean, right? Seriously, day and night, ceaseless labors. So for him to be also at the same time writing whole letters of strong warning, saying, don't trust in your works, you know, work hard. Don't trust in your works. I think for many of us, works righteousness, well, like you pointed out, it comes up in our own heart, even as believers. There's a temptation toward that, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. I think as well, many of us have Roman Catholics who are friends or neighbors, family members, very common German Catholic area around here. That's probably one of the clearest examples of works righteousness in our area, besides just the typical, I prayed a prayer and nothing changed, so I'm good for heaven. But yeah, Roman Catholicism, it is officially a system of salvation, a sacramental system where you do works. And as you do the works, as you follow the sacramental system, grace is infused into you. And so there's really fine theological terminology that's used, and very smart people think about it. But at the end of the day, it does boil down to you have to do the things. Mm. And they are the basis of you being right with God, which is why if you talk to someone who is Roman Catholic, we'll say things like, you know, to die and be with Christ, that's so much better, man. I long to be with Christ, you know. And that is considered rather presumptuous to many Roman Catholics, because how can you know for sure if you died you'd be with Christ? Because how do you know you've done enough good works or you've infused enough grace? But that's just the language of the Bible there.
I feel like we struggle with that ourselves too. Sometimes thinking about sanctification.
Yes.
You know, it's like sanctification is a sign for us. You know, it's to assure us, you know, the good works that we walk in, that we have salvation. You know, without works, your faith is dead. Yeah. So sanctification shows that, but it's like, you know, I don't know, but somehow we feel like, but I still struggle with this. Well, sometimes, you know, the struggle is there, but are you fighting it? You know what I mean? Or is it leading to love? How about that? Is it producing love in your life? If it's not producing love in your life, then that faith is false, right? That faith is leading to something else.
Well, I wanted to read a few passages here that touch on this works righteousness to show from Scripture that it very much was what Paul did not believe. And then I have another question for you about it. Here are a few of them. So I mentioned Romans. Here's Romans 3:20. These are, to me, the clearest passages that works righteousness is wrong. Romans 3:20. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. That's pretty clear. Romans 4:4-5. Now to the one who works. And this is an important passage because some people have tried to say when Paul's talking about works of the law, we can't be justified by works of the law. Some people have argued that he's just talking about specifically Jewish works. But when you look at Romans 4, 4 through 5, he generalizes it. Now to the one who works, it's any work, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Pulling up his, really his thesis for the whole book, as Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness, it's just faith. One other passage, this is now from Galatians, but you can see it's not just a Romans thing. Galatians 2, 15 to 16 say, we know that a person is, and this is as clear as it comes, not justified by works of the law, works righteousness, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and, in case we missed it the first time, not by works of the law. And then in case you missed it the second time, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. That's about as clear as it comes, you know, in those passages. So that's what we're talking about. Works righteousness is not true. It is not gospel. It's not right.
Until you read James.
Which is a good point because, but maybe I'm going to save that for next week. Because next week we're talking about you have to do good works as a Christian. And we're going to define what that means. Because we're not saying there are no good works involved. It's just where do they come, before justification or after?
Yeah.
So, but of course you'd throw that curveball.
As just, Luther.
But you got to wait.
As big Luther thing, yeah. You know.
Well, it's a straw epistle.
That's right. Luther said. That's right. He did not quite grasp that one, did he?
No, he didn't. But it's a good one, and we'll talk about it probably next week. I did want to ask you, Mike, and we've touched on this a little bit. So I just read those passages. They're as clear as day. It couldn't be stated more clearly. And yet, our default, even as believers, but especially those who don't know Christ, our default as people is works righteousness. Always. It is. There's no one with a default of faith righteousness anywhere. We all, by gravity, fall toward works righteousness unless Scripture reverses that. I was going to ask, why do you think that is such a prevalent default among people?
You mean besides sin?
Yeah, that's kind of the answer, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it is like we see what we value others doing for us. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to hate, talking about how everybody is self-righteous and selfish just in our nature of our own. You know, it's, the gospel is what takes us outside of ourselves, allows us to do things with, you know, an inward motivation, and now a motivation to please God, to want to do things not to favor ourselves, but to favor God.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Discipline of Grace by Jerry Bridges points this out pretty well, but, you know, you can feel like, even as a Christian, you get up late, you don't get in the Word, you struggle, you know, you have a bad day, someone cuts you off in traffic, oh, you struggle with anger, you get to work, you're sleepy, you ate junk last night. I mean, it's a bad day. You're having a bad day. You feel less saved. Okay, I should say, I feel less saved. Mm. I feel less saved on that day. If I got up on time and got in the Word and, you know, there was an opportunity to share the gospel, just somebody asked me, are you a Christian? What does that mean? You know, and I shared well and they were, you know, everything's going great. I feel more saved on that day, you know? But you cannot be, when we're talking about justification specifically, you can't be more or less justified. You can certainly feel more or less, but see, that's works righteousness. That's what's going on there. Is I was a good boy and I did a good job on that day. And on the basis of my more good works, I am more justified in God's sight. Why am I like that? That's what I'm asking.
Man, this you remind me of the quote I was thinking of now. Walter Marshall's The Gospel, The Mystery of Sanctification. He's talking about the comforts of the gospel. When you fully understand the gospel, that comfort that it brings you, that security that you have, and your new identity, now that is what frees us to go on to do good works, because we understand it has nothing to do with us. It's purely by grace and faith. And so, you know, it's like it frees you to have this unlimited amount of ability to now do things to please and honor God. Does that make sense? You no longer feel like you have to do these things. You have to strip the stuff. It's, you know, you're free. You don't have to, but you're motivated now to do it out of, I don't want to say debt, because there's a debt we can't repay, But there is a motivation of just this sheer, like, he's emptied himself of everything for me. Mm-hmm. How could I not now have that motivation to give him the praise and honor and glory he deserves?
That very much is a good reminder of, if you do operate under this default works righteousness, even as a believer, you can lean that way, you know. If you do that, you really only have one of two alternatives available before you. What's going to happen? So if your motivation is, I've got to do these good works so that I'm more justified and God loves me more and accepts me more because of them, then I think Tim Keller pointed this out. I'm sure others have too. Either, in your own estimation, you do a really good job. You work really hard. You're a good Christian. And then what happens? Then you have a basis upon which to stand and look down your nose at others who are not doing a good job like you are. So you could become proud. That's option one. Behind door number two is, you don't live up to that estimate of whatever you think you need to be as a Christian, and you just live in perpetual guilt and misery. So those stink. You know, those are terrible options. But that's what works righteousness gives you. You end up with Pharisees on the one hand and prostitutes and tax collectors on the other hand, and neither of those is very Christian. And so instead, like you said, that as you were quoting, to instead already have the verdict, you're justified already. The thief on the cross stuff. He couldn't do a good work if his hands and feet are nailed and he's dying, you know. So he couldn't do a good work if he wanted to, literally. For him to have an assurance that today he'll be with Christ in paradise, put that for in our own case, that does provide us an unlimited supply of motivation. That's not like finger pointing down out of heaven going, get your act together, but instead as a refreshment that we are already fully justified. Now, what we're talking about here is shocking and not normal. Even if we look at every other religious system in the world, and I'm not trying to make some sensationalistic remark there, this is literally true. Every other religious system outside of true biblical Christianity operates under works righteousness. So you could take the easy ones like Islam. If you are adequately submitted to Allah and you follow the Quran and the Hadiths and you are a good Muslim, you may, again, it's may, you don't know for sure, but you may get to paradise. That is works righteousness. Or Judaism, that's what Paul was dealing with, Judaism as a religious system apart from Christ. It is works righteousness, keeping the law. Hinduism and Buddhism, things like nirvana and whatever the equivalent of salvation would be in those religious systems. Again,
I mean, you think of dharma and karma. I mean, the duties of your life affect your karma, your reincarnation, the next one. So it's like you're constantly having to do better and better and better, right?
I mean, it's good works and merit tied in into your next lives. So it's almost an extreme version of it. Yeah, and you could carry that on. And it's actually true, too, within Christianity. If you look at any unbiblical versions of Christianity, and we talked about Roman Catholicism with its sacramental system, that is works righteousness, but that's true of Mormonism, true of Jehovah's Witnesses, true of every cult within Christianity, it's works righteousness. Labeled a little different, a different flavor, but it's works righteousness. So the last question I have for you as we finish this episode is, these are people we love and care about who follow other religious systems. They're our neighbors and coworkers and family. Do you have any advice for someone who, let's say they have family members who are perhaps even Roman Catholic and are operating under works righteousness, and they're wanting to love them and share the gospel of salvation by faith alone with them? Do you have any advice of how we can do that clearly and effectively?
Yeah, I mean, you're just sharing the gospel with them. I mean, you're just showing the love, the freedom that comes, the grace, the mercy, you know, and you also have to have this mindset. Like for me, I was thinking, okay, I've been for some reason in my neighborhood, I don't know why it is, but I have a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses here recently that have been coming probably once every 2 weeks, come and knock and like give me some nice solar eclipse glasses, you know, have this big event. But I just think to myself, you know, this person is working so hard, and I think, you know, they're probably a better person than I am. They're so dedicated, and here they are going out door to door, trying to get that number. And it's just that mindset to think of, you know, I mean, I'm not better than this person because I'm saved. It's the grace of God acting in my life. And I'm only here because somebody stepped out and shared that gospel with me, you know, took the risk that they were going to look foolish in sharing this gospel, but they didn't care because they had such a love for me, you know, that they wanted me to understand the truth of the gospel. And so when you have that motivation, that freedom in your heart, you know what I mean, to now share that truth, and you know you don't have to convince them of it, right? How can we convince somebody of the gospel? It's foolishness that those are perishing, but you just have to present it accurately and to have that motivation that, you know, I'm just doing this because I genuinely and sincerely care about you as a person created in God's image. Mm-hmm.
That is very well said. And see, you winged it so well, Mark. You really did. A wing and a prayer. I really appreciate you being on here and sharing with us today. Thank you for that. You may be someone who's listening to this, and maybe the thought of salvation or justification by faith alone and not works righteousness is offensive to you. The thought that someone can be very sinful and be completely justified simply by believing in Christ. Maybe that's an offensive thought when you've been working really hard. Or on the other hand, it's possible you may be a genuine believer, you subscribe to justification by faith alone, but maybe like me, you struggle with the feeling of being more or less justified based on your own works day by day. Whatever the case might be in the past, may God help us all now by his grace to think this way.